In a sense, I am preaching tonight.
Now he really knew I was preaching. That's the evangelistic part of him coming out. So how many of you have been spending some time searching for treasures at this time of the year for your family and friends, that particular little thing that you want to get them? May not be a big thing, maybe something you're making, but it is a treasure that you are looking for. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about the unsearchable treasures. And if you would stand with me, I'd like to read from the third chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse 8, and we're going to go all the way through verse 21. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence of the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And I am in particular looking at Scripture 8, which talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you would pray with me, please. Dear Lord Jesus, we look to you, Lord God, this evening and every day, Lord, for the riches that you have left us, Lord, those things that can't be bought with money, Lord. But only, Lord Jesus, through our service unto you will we find these riches here on earth, Lord, and later for all eternity. I pray right now that these words would fill the ears of those that hear, and that your words would fill my mouth, that I might say the things that you would have me to this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I've read my Bible through many, many times. I've had a daily Bible. I've read for study and so forth. But this particular Scripture 8 in chapter 3, it's always lured me into my imagination of what God is talking about. As a child, I loved to read mysteries, stories that usually included the search for treasure. The stories would be filled with hints of where the riches could be found. I read a lot of Agatha Christie novels as a teenager, and I found out very quickly that I had to pay attention while I was reading, because there were little clues where that treasure was from the very first page, and you didn't find out until the end. So you really had to think about, what is the author saying here? What am I supposed to be learning? I read stories about lost gold mines in the old American West, pirate chests in the Caribbean, and sunken ships with rich payrolls of the sunk off the eastern coast. I really enjoyed those. Just recently, I was in a waiting room, and I picked up an old National Geographic, and it was reporting on the finding of a Civil War ship at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. It was called the SS Republic. And it had been carrying passengers from from New York. And with it, hoards of gold and silver to help finance the Civil War. But it was lost at sea 150 years ago. Many years of research went into finding the wreck, but so many years had passed since that ship went down at sea. But how could they now find these riches? Where could that ship have been? I mean, the Atlantic Ocean's a big ocean. Well, they started at the beginning, of course. They started in New York, where the ship left port. They calculated wind speeds on that day, currents, looked at ships' logs, newspapers, survivors' accounts, the lifeboat coordinates that were studied. 1,500 square miles of ocean bottom were searched. 2 years later, as they were almost out of money and ready to give up, the shadow of a two-wheel paddle boat came up on a sonar screen, the remains of the ship and its contents. It was scattered over an area the size of a football field. After 2 months of sifting the bottom of the Atlantic and many, many man hours, all of a sudden a little gold thing sparkled in the sand, and then another one and another one. It was gold coins. Finally, they found barrels full of gold and silver coins. Excuse me. Depending on the condition of a single coin, its value could be as much as $450,000 for one coin. So they had literally found millions of dollars worth of treasure. Now, we know that Paul in Ephesians was writing to the church about a different kind of riches. They have no dollar value. That the entire third chapter tells us that the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ has been extended to all mankind, the Jew and the Gentile alike, that Christ purchased these riches for us and gave them to us all. Paul tells us that God revealed these truths unto him. He called himself the least of the saints. Now, we know he was an apostle, so he was considering himself the least of the saints. To tell the Gentiles that these riches are for them was very hard. Verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Paul was, by revelation, made aware of God's plan for mankind and was trying to write it down, trying to tell them about these hidden riches, trying to make a map for them to follow. But this wasn't going to be a pirate's map. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" John 5:9 reads, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." How many of us have been healed? How many of us know people that have been healed? We can't possibly count all the miracles that God has done. The Bible says that if the books were filled with just the miracles he performed while he was on this earth, they could not contain all of his miracles. Paul put himself in a lowly, humble position, lower than the lowest saint, to bring forth God's plans. He knew that some would say, "Who are you that God counsels with you?" Yet the Holy Ghost that dwelt within him would continue to open his mind more and more of the riches of Christ. And he knew that he had to lead others to new discoveries, that they could walk into those footsteps of the Almighty for themselves. Just as more and more riches were found searching the SS Republic, the more we search into the riches of Christ, the more discoveries are unveiled to us. In October of 2005, my husband was invited to Korea for their general conference. Knowing their culture is very conservative, I quizzed our missionary, Sister Kim, and I questioned her carefully. I did not want to be an offense to any of the people in Korea. I mean, they made my husband take his shoes off and preach standing on a pillow. Not a person entered their sanctuary without taking their shoes off in honor of God. The first service that my husband preached, God gave me a message in tongues and interpretation. The service went absolutely wild. I have never, ever seen anything like it before. And everyone headed to the altar. There wasn't enough altar space. The Bible, the pews weren't bolted down, so they pushed all the pews back, so that everybody could come to the altar and pray. They didn't spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes. They were there 30 minutes worshiping God and thanking him for the message that had been brought in. It wasn't until after service that I asked the missionary, Sister Kim, what was all that about? And she told me that in the 20 years she had been in a Korean church, that was only the third time she had ever heard tongues and interpretation. My husband stood in the pulpit. He delivered a message in tears, in humbleness, an emotional thing in front of people who were not emotional. The ministry came up to him and said, "We want to be more like that. We want to be more emotional. We want to reach up." I believe God used us to leave a footprint for the Koreans to follow. The word unsearchable from Ephesians 3 and 8 means a footprint, or a track. Paul was writing a map, not only for the Ephesian church, but for you and for me, for our children, for our grandchildren, that the riches of Christ would never be lost like the SS Republic for 150 years. You see, a treasure lost is not easily found again. If the map or instructions to its location be lost, the riches may never be seen again. We are, you and me, like Paul, we are ministers. We all must be leaving a footprint or a map to God's riches for those that come after us. The big difference between earthly riches and the riches of God is you don't have to work hard to obtain God's riches. He gives them to every man freely. How many times have I seen visitors in service so touched by the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, the tears falling from their eyes, and then find in a week or two they're right back in the pit that God took them out of. People receive the treasure when they're not necessarily looking for it, but then because it comes so easily, they easily discard it. They discard it as if it has no lasting value whatsoever. We become careless with the riches. We must be determined to stay on track. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9 mentions that there are consequences for not only not knowing, but not obeying the word of God. We now, in 2014, have the same obligation to Christ that Paul had, to leave a footprint or a map for the future generations to follow. That leaves each of us with a great responsibility. Every one of us, whether you are a teacher, as Pastor said earlier, just by you sitting in the place where you're sitting, you encourage other people in this church. You encourage them to be faithful. Is it important? It is a great responsibility. How can you or I leave a map if we don't know for ourselves how to read the directions? And where are we going to learn to read the directions? Matthew 15 and 14 says, "And if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall in the ditch." Learn the directions. Learn how to read a compass for yourself. Don't just believe because of how your pastor teaches, although I know him to be an honorable man and preach the word of God. But what if something happens to Pastor? What if someday you need to know the word of God for yourself? You must know. Read your Bible over and over and over. The 19th chapter of Acts recounts Paul meeting a group of men who said they were Christians, but they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. So what did Paul do? He started questioning them. Okay, if you were baptized, how were you baptized then if you don't know about the Holy Ghost? Well, we were baptized unto John's baptism, which was baptism unto repentance. But they needed more. We can be shut out of the full treasure chest if we don't look at the book and compare all we believe to what Christ has inspired. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Whenever you start on a trip, and I guess that's what I would call our life, you need to know where on the map you are right this moment. You need a starting place. If you start from some place you think you're at, you may make some progress, but you're still very lost. My husband and I have made a lot of road trips in the last 48 to 50 years. And we've traveled all over the U.S. and some foreign countries. And I really don't know how this all evolved, but since he was the driver, I became the navigator. So I would watch for the road signs. I would watch for the different routes on the map. And I'd look for landmarks. And if we were lost, I'm also the one who got to get out and ask for directions. Even here in the States, when you speak the same language, you can be misled by people with very good intentions, but very poor directions. I found getting directions in foreign countries where the language and the signage is foreign, it was a bit challenging for me. But most times, as I would go and I would try to speak in whatever it was, French or whatever language, the people would take me to a map. They would point to where I was and then where I needed to go so that I could see the coordination. Once you get your basic map skills down, I read my Bible, I know for myself what it says, then you are ready to leave a footprint or a map for others to reach the riches of Christ. Our lives are constantly moving. Sometimes we go down roads that are dead ends, and they're not productive at all. Sometimes we go down roads that are just the wrong way and you have to double back and start all over again. We are being watched by those around us. Whether you mean to or not, you're leaving a footprint. So if you're thinking about driving your car, what kind of footprint are you leaving? Are you saying, go this way? Oh, no, I made a mistake. Come back this way. Are you saying, go to the right? And, oh, that was wrong, so I have to go back to where I started and go to the left? Now take, for instance, what happens when you're giving people instructions on living for God. Do you change directions in the middle of what you are learning? You are leaving a footprint. We need to constantly make forward progress towards the riches of Christ that other people can follow. I'm sure you've all heard the story about the parents that hear there's a big thug out of their son's room and they come running in the middle of the night and here he is on the floor. And they say, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he sort of fills his head and he says, "Yeah, I'm okay. I guess I just stayed too close to where I came in." We can enter the church as a new convert and just stay there instead of growing. As a wife, a mother, a grandmother, there are certain things I want my family to think of or remember me for. certain things I want you all to remember me for. I'm sure any of you that are over 50 have already thought about this yourselves. I'd like to read you a short article that was written by our National Ladies Ministers Secretary, Linda Gleason. She and her husband pastor a church in Portland, Oregon, and her mother was a pastor's wife. And she left a footprint that I'd like to tell you about. It's called She Was Always There. Every time the church doors opened with all four children in the north cold, so of course there were boots and coats and hats and mittens. Now this was many years ago when church did not start until 8 p.m. and went until almost midnight, when revivals were every night of the week. By the end of service, little ones were stretched out under pews or on the pew, sound asleep. Ever try to put mittens, coats, boots, and hats on a sleeping child? No, it was not easy. Still, she was there every time the church doors opened with her children. She was not seen on the platform. She did not play a musical instrument. She did not have a prominent part in the service. That was her husband's responsibility. Chances are good that not very many would have noticed had she skipped a service here and there. But she was always there, not only for local church services, but also for sectional and district functions, four children in tow. Why? Why hassle the children, intrude on their play, interrupt their good night's rest, especially for extra church functions in the district? Because she loved apostolic truth. Because she determined to put that love into the hearts of those four children. Because part of her passion was to ingrain into their fiber and core the habit of church attendance and a love for the house of God. Was she successful? Well, her two daughters married ministers. The two sons became ministers. As the years have passed, there are now grandchildren and great-grandchildren who love the truth. There are sons and grandsons preaching the gospel. I pay tribute to my mother, Ray Gleason, who poured her love for God into the hearts of her children. Now over 80 years of age, her most prized possessions. Her most prized possessions do not consist of things accumulated throughout a lifetime. Her greatest treasures are wrapped up in the ministering of her family through singing and preaching. An important part of your ministry is to train and influence the children who are at your feet daily. You may be fixing peanut butter sandwiches and pouring cold milk for a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a music director, an anointed songwriter. Do not minimize the opportunity to affect the world through your children. As your passion and burden reach out to encompass lost souls around the globe, be aware of the souls who have muddy footprints on your clean kitchen floor. What wonderful riches Jesus has for those who love him, embrace him, and follow in his footsteps. Philippians 4 and 19 tells us, he shall supply all your needs according to his riches in heaven. Colossians 1 and 9, it says, we'll have knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1 and 27 says, He's the hope of glory within us. Ephesians 3 and 6 says that Gentiles, as well as Jews, are partakers of his promises. Ephesians 3:15 says we can call ourselves by his name. Ephesians 3 and 16 says our inner man is strengthened by his spirit. What riches we have. What a treasure we have. Paul's conclusion to the third chapter of Ephesians is perfect. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I need Jesus to draw me close to him. I need him to draw me close that I can fulfill his plan, not only for myself, but for others. I want my life to lead others to the unsearchable riches of Christ. The latest map tool out there is a GPS, Global Positioning System. It gives direction from a satellite that is out of this world. Anywhere you want to go, you can type in, or in some cases speak to it, I want to go to Third and Walnut, and you have directions. This system knows where you are at all times. Jesus has placed his own GPS in us. From a place out of this world, in the form of the Holy Ghost. If you want to be closer to him, just ask. He'll give you the directions. If our musicians would come. In closing, I just want to say that today more than ever, with God fulfilling so many end-time prophecies, we need to do some self-analysis. Where am I on my walk with God? How many of you have even thought of that? Where should I be? How long have I been serving God? And where should I be? Am I on the right road? Do I line up with God's word? Will my life lead others to the unsearchable riches of God? You know, our Christmas celebrations are just around the corner, and many of us are still looking for that last-minute treasure or gift for our loved ones. As you're doing that, please remember to allow our wonderful Savior to continue to guide you to his unsearchable treasures as you celebrate. His gifts are not expensive. They are the pathway to eternal life. And I pray that tonight, if you would stand with me, I pray that tonight was not just a little time to think about God for a few minutes, but I pray that it makes you think about God every moment, about the treasures that eye has not seen, ear has not heard. We can't even imagine what he has for us. Treasures that are so beyond our concept. You know, he said that we couldn't even imagine him because his ways are so much higher than our ways. If tonight you feel that you're on the pathway to the unsearchable treasures of Jesus. I invite you to this altar to talk to him about where you are and where you want to go.